L for landscape and locomotion, and then the relation of those two terms. Landscape is clear what it is. Locomotion means how humans, animals, creatures, and so on, how they locomote, how they travel, how they move about. So, it's a technical term which is used in biology, but also in dance. Especially since the work of Simon Forti, I think it's a more common term. Now, how the two relate is we can think of a landscape as intertwined with the beings, animals, humans, and so on, that inhabit that landscape. And the point of inhabiting, if you place that into movement, then you end up in locomotion. In the history of philosophy, you have to think of phenomenology, especially the work of Merleau-Ponty has been influential here, that bodies and the surroundings, the environment, are intertwined. So also the relations, the perceptions, the behaviors, and the way of moving are intertwined. And then later on in psychology of perception and behavior, this was taken up also in more technical terms in the theory of affordances of J.J. Gibson. Affordance means that if you have a certain feature in the landscape, say a patch of grass, a tree, a rock, or in the city, a bench on a square, this affords certain behaviors or movements. And that means that in a particular landscape one can move around in a particular way. So it's not that the movement happens autonomous for this landscape, but it's intertwined. I think in city design this is used a great deal to promote certain behaviors and kind of keep other behaviors at bay. Like all the discussions in the newspapers about how to keep youngsters from hanging around in the street at night, things like that. Certainly there's also city designers that design or compose certain environments to avoid such a behavior. Now, if we translate this more on a dramaturgical level, we arrive to what I would call a conceptual landscape. That is a concept or a space in which one can move and walk around according to certain rules. So the conceptual aspect is that it's very strict, it's arbitrary, and the landscape aspect is that it's literalized, so its body is behaving in a concept. So what does it mean to inhabit a concept? For the scene we were working on today, which has to do with becoming object, animation and so on, we call it Ultradeck. It had to be named a conceptual landscape or a map in which certain behaviors and movements are possible or are afforded. At the right side, it's a low space where animals linger. At the left side, it's an erect space where humans linger. In front of the stage or of the space, it's a space of hiding. At the back, it's more a space where objects go up in the air. Right in the center, this is a space of exchange. If dancers exchange, for instance, objects, in this case, they get a blanket or a stick. They animate it by traveling upwards along a diagonal. If things get taken away, they travel down the same diagonal in the other direction, in a kind of virtual animation. If they meet and form a collective creature, either with or without objects, they can locomote, there you have it again, around a certain pathway, clockwise or counterclockwise, and so on. So this brings, though there are no actual features or affordances in the space, they are named as rules or as zones that we have marked. And they bring a clarity of focus to the dancing, and they bring a sense of composition to the whole space, which is not exact. So there's leeway for improvisation within there, for a particular kind of timing or unfolding of behavior to happen. And in that sense also a sense of discovery for both the performers and the audience. So the rules of that landscape remain implicit, but they bring clarity and a sense of curiosity and of exploration, like a landscape should do.